The following is a presentation of Real Racing USA.
The O'Reilly Auto Parts ASA Fast Lane, only on Real Racing USA. Meet the racers of America's most exciting short track racing series every Wednesday night from 8 p.m. until 9 p.m. From the Milwaukee Mile to Bristol Motor Speedway, Five Flags in Nashville, the ASA is the racing series where young talent meets wily veterans in extreme short track competition. O'Reilly is America's auto parts store, and the ASA is America's premier late model series. O'Reilly Auto Parts ASA Fast Lane gets you close to the action and behind the scenes with the real stories from the drivers themselves. The O'Reilly ASA Fast Lane, only on Real Racing USA.
And it is time again, Jerry Wald. Let's go do it, man. The O'Reilly ASA Fast Lane.
Yes, it's been a long couple weeks, but I'm ripping and raring to go. I think my voice is in good shape, and we have a lot to talk about, and we have, we're going to have Jeremy Gerstner on the show, Chris Fontaine, and also Trent Snyder, the champion of the Northern Division, is going to be on the show tonight.
Yeah, and then we also we have an interview that actually we did a couple nights ago with Jeff Choquette, who is definitely primed for Hickory. He's got two races to go to wrap up the ASA Southern Division Championship, and his big win at Columbia Motorsports Park, driving the Dick Anderson number 92, has got him all fired up.
Yeah, I was looking at the picture of Jeff in the 92 car and the big trophy that he had, and he's on a roll, so I know he's looking forward to Hickory.
Yeah, and some of the things that... I think we're going to talk about the Fords and the Chevys tonight a little bit with we'll check in with both Jeremy and Chris maybe on that that thing. We were going to have Skip Wall is going to be covering the ASA Late Model Series for us at he'll be our reporter on the ground this week at Hickory Motor Speedway. And we're trying to get in touch with him, but we're having some phone troubles. We may or may not get to Skip Wall, but in any event, Skip will be there this weekend covering the ASA Late Model Series at Hickory.
Well, that's great. I know Skip is looking forward to that, and I know he'll give us some great insight on the race at Hickory this weekend.
Yeah, so so what's the deal with this Trent Snyder now? What's Trent's deal?
Well, he won the Northern Division, as you know. He's planning on going to Hickory, and he's looking to move up possibly to ARCA and maybe some of the truck races next year. But he's still they're up in the air about ASA. I think they're going to try and run as many ASA races as they can, but they are looking forward to possibly get into some ARCA races next year.
All right, so we're going to talk to Trent Snyder a little bit later on, and of course we didn't have the race at DeSoto Speedway, and that as we wrote in a little article there about the race, it didn't happen. I'll tell you, those are some prime drivers for that deal, man. It was a bit of a shame that didn't happen. Obviously it was a shame, but
a lot of travel for nothing.
Yeah, but they'll be moving on, and we're moving on to Hickory Motor Speedway. I'm sure it'll be a big event, and you know, just got to let the past go and move on, no sense dwelling on it. So, tell you what, why don't we take a quick break here?
Okay.
Pay some bills. We're going to come back nonstop with Chris Fontaine, right? It's coming up right off the bat.
And number one tonight.
And Jeff's Choquette right after that. So, I guess we'll be right back, Terry. I don't know.
Yeah, I think O'Reilly ASA Fast Lane will be right back.
You are listening to the O'Reilly ASA Fast Lane. We'll be right back. When purchasing a technical product like brakes, there is no substitute for quality and experience. In the performance industry, no one has more experience than the Brakeman. The Brakeman has been designing high-performance solutions for a variety of applications for almost 40 years. The current products from the Brakeman are among the most advanced on the market. The Tornado calipers are the only calipers in the performance industry to carry a U.S. patent number and their new line of pads and rotors. The Brakeman Super Brakes are solving brake problems on hard-use vehicles, from police cars to ambulances and a variety of fleet vehicles. So if you're towing a trailer, carrying heavy loads, or just plain want to extend the life and stopping power of your vehicle, it's time to call the Brakeman. On the web at thebrakeman.com.
All right, welcome back to the this edition of the O'Reilly ASA Fast Lane. And Terry Wall, Jack Smith here. And Terry, we have Chris Fontaine with us.
Yes, sir.
All right, welcome.
Fontaine, welcome to the O'Reilly ASA Fast Lane.
Thank you for having me.
Once again, Mr. Fast Qualifier, man. You got this qualifying stuff down, don't you?
Well, fortunately, it was at a track I've been to before, so... we're just real happy to get Glenn Enterprises Ford up there, and real excited to get to pull there at our home track.
Chris, did you almost say Chevrolet?
We switched over to Ford, and I've been used to saying it. So.
Well, that's you go ahead, Terry. I know where you're going with this one.
Well, I was gonna just go. You know, there is a. I'm a Ford man, always have been, Jack, you had mentioned earlier about a Chevy Ford controversy. Is that correct?
Well, that's what I was. I heard a little bit about this, and so we were going to ask Chris and Jeremy if they knew anything about it. I was told actually, Chris. We asked Jeff Choquette about this the other day because a couple of people had told me that early in the year there was a little bit of a to-do about the Fords versus the Chevys and one having an advantage over the other. Do you know anything about that, or has that all been straightened out? Jeff said it had been straightened out.
I think it has been straightened out. I think definitely in the beginning of the year, Ford had an advantage, but now in the ASA Challenge Series, the Chevys have shown that they can run. So maybe in the beginning of the year, you might have been at a little disadvantage, but I think now they're both about the same.
What was it, a motor deal, or what was the what was the deal?
The Ford just had a little more power, and they did a few things with the rocker arms, and I'm not sure if there was another thing or not, but I think it seemed to even it up a little bit.
So there's
all right.
Go ahead, Terry.
Had more power. I wish that was the way it was in all divisions. But,
well, see, now, not being a motorhead techie, man, that's a little confusing to me, and I'm sure it is to other people who don't necessarily know what goes under the hood of a car. We hear crate late models, crate motors. You know, they're sealed motors, and nobody can mess with. So there's a different motor for Ford than one for Chevy?
Yeah, you can get a crate Ford and a crate Chevy.
I gotcha.
Well, it seems like we need to move along. Some people even put more stuff in the motor than they're supposed to, as we found out in New Smyrna.
Yep. So so are you excited about going up to the legendary racetrack at Hickory, man?
I'm excited. I think we got a little momentum. We've had a couple good qualifying runs here in a row, and I really wish we could have got to race. I was hoping that would turn out real well for us. But I've never been to Hickory. Looking forward to the opportunity to do well there, and just hope it goes that way.
Go ahead, Terry.
And you also, I understand, are going to run the Alabama 125 on October 27th at Birmingham?
Yes, sir. We're going to finish out the season and see if we can up our position a little better in the points. We're sitting fourth right now. I'd like to try and at least get second there.
Well, they, as rumor has it, and Jack has brought this up to me, Birmingham might be at the very last race ever at the Birmingham International Raceway.
Well, I guess we're all here, and I'm not sure. I just look forward to racing there again. I think we would have had a little better finish, but we ran out of gas there the last race. I think we ended up doing almost 200 laps because they didn't count the cautions, and half the field ran out of gas, and unfortunately we were one of them. We ended up running out with two laps to go, and so we weren't able to advance our position after that was only a green white to go.
Right.
Where does your team? Is your team from guys from all around Lakeland, or are they from around other parts of the country?
We're all from Lakeland, Auburndale, Winter Haven area. You know, we've got our shop there off Berkeley Road in Auburndale. And it's made it a little tough with the traveling, but we seem to make it work. And we're going to end up running the South Series again next year and hit some of the challenge races as well.
Hmm. So, I mean, do you take these guys, these same crew goes to all of your races? It's the same team all the time?
Yeah, I've got four guys working for me, and they work for me full-time, and we're gone 6-7 days a week racing normally, or you know, at the shop, and we normally don't get home until Sunday because we have to fly. So we get home Sunday afternoon and back at the shop Monday morning.
There's a race, Jack, and I've been looking on the site for the date of this race. It's the Nashville race. That's coming up. Do you have more information on that, Jack? That it seems to elude me at the moment.
What's that?
The Nashville race.
Actually, I don't have the. I'm having some little technical difficulties here accessing the internet on the computer that I have right now. I think I'll get this resolved in just a minute. But right this minute, I can't access that.
Yeah, I'm having a problem accessing it too. But I was talking to Chris earlier when we were getting ready to do the show about if he possibly was going to go to the Nashville race also. And where are you at on that at the moment, Chris, as far as going to the Nashville race? In fact, I have it right here, 2 weekends after Hickory. So 2 weeks after Hickory, November 2nd and 3rd, will be the Adam Petty Memorial All-American 200. And that would be an honor to go to that race and being named after Adam Petty. But where are you as far as possibly going to that race?
The plans right now are to go to it, providing we have a race car left. We've only got two right now, and it kind of depends on what happens at Hickory and Birmingham. And I'd like to go to it because we won't have a race for a while after that. So the plan is to go. If anything changes, it'll be posted on chrisfontaine.com. But right now, looking forward to the next three weekends of racing.
Hey, Chris, what drives you to do this, man?
To
get in the car and go compete.
Racing, I guess. I mean, the competition and the racing. When the first time you're in a car and you just beat one person, that's enough to want to beat them all and keep doing it. And, of course, it'd be great that it's so competitive. And I think in our South Series, we've only had one repeat winner. So it's a lot of fun. It's a lot of hard work. And the satisfaction you get from doing well or succeeding and winning is just unbelievable.
Do you compete? Go ahead.
What's your background, Chris? As far as when did you start racing? What did you start racing? And who was your biggest influence in pursuing a racing career?
I started out in a Super Mini Cup, and then went to limited late models, and then raced super late models in fast car and down there in Bradenton, Florida, DeSoto, and this is just where I went. I wanted to race all over the country, and ASA was the type of car that we had for the most part, so we were able to switch our super late models over to ASA cars so we could save some money there, and just now we've been able to run more tracks than I've ever run and just get that experience. Probably my biggest influence would have been, I guess, my dad back when we were younger, just getting me a go-kart, let me run around the neighborhood. He was in the auto parts business and got me interested in cars and going fast, and that's where it would come from.
Do you compete in other things as well besides auto racing?
Not really compete. I've played some ice hockey, and I do windsurfing and kiteboarding, but all of the other things I just kind of have fun at. I don't take them as serious that way.
Yeah.
They're not so stressful because racing's so competitive that I guess it's sometimes not as fun when you're not up front. There's a lot of frustrating moments, and 90% work and 10% fun.
Yeah, but you know, it's funny too. Like, we were talking to some people last week. You know, I was up watching some Harley drag racers. You know, these guys, like, do all this preparation, and then they get on the bike, and they go down the quarter mile at, like, these extremely high speeds. It's all over in 5, 6, 7, 8 seconds, you know? And same thing with drag race, any kind of drag racing. It's over pretty quick, you know? And you get this huge adrenaline rush, but it's very short. But what, you know, stock car racers, man, it's like you go out, you got to keep this up for an hour.
Yeah, the race in South Georgia, I think, went for 2 hours and 15 minutes. So you just have to make a mistake and make up for it. So I guess at least when it goes right, you do get to have fun for a little while.
Yeah, well, that's cool. Well, we expect you. I'm sure you'll have fun up at Hickory Motor Speedway. And, man, go get them and have a good time.
Thank you.
Well, I appreciate your time, Chris, and I'm sure after your experience at Hickory, we sure want to hear from you and see what you think.
All right. Well, I just want to apologize to everybody who stood out. I wish we could have put on a good show. You can throw out some T-shirts, and I was going to buy a few beers for everybody for the first 47 people at the beer stand. But we didn't get the race, so we're real disappointed about that. But I appreciate everybody else for coming out.
All right. And hopefully you get to go to Nashville, and I'm going to make that show and hopefully meet you there, Chris.
All right, look to it.
All right, man. Talk to you soon,
Chris Fontaine.
Hey, Terry. You know, and we spoke Monday night with Jeff Choquette. As we mentioned earlier,
right.
Let me tell you something. Jeff plays this down a little bit, but if you read Rick Warren's story on Florida Stock Car Racing about this event. And he and several other people who witnessed this said they had never seen it. Now, Jeff can get on a tear, let me tell you, because, you know, he's a dirt driver, and, you know, he can get on a tear. They said they never saw anybody drive through the field with as much aggressiveness and temerity as Jeff did, Jeff Choquette did on Saturday night. And let's listen to an interview with Jeff Choquette, about 6 minutes that we talked with him the other night. And
okay.
And then we're going to be coming back after that with Jeremy Gerstner.
Jeremy Gerstner.
There you go, man.
All right.
You just hold that thought, because there was a race that we've been talking about for months and months because of rainouts and one thing or another, Cecil Williams Memorial. Cecil Williams Memorial actually happened this week at Lake City.
Hallelujah.
And Jeff Choquette went up there with some cheated up motor, I understand, and took them apart.
Some Dick Anderson ride, probably car number 92, probably, wasn't it?
Mr. Choquette, welcome to Inside Florida Racing, man. How's it feel winning that race?
Hello, Jeff.
I never got a chance to meet Cecil William, but, you know, from my understanding, he was a great guy. You know, he gave me the shirt off his back, and you know, it's just an honor to me to go there and to win his, you know, inaugural race, and then, you know, to be driving Dick Anderson's car. From what I understand, you know, they had a lot of history there, too.
Yeah, this guy, Dick Anderson, that you're driving the car of, you know, he's got so much history all over the place, and Cecil just kind of fell in there in the right areas there, you know, around the Bronson area and also there in Lake City. So, you know, the race finally happened. It sounds like for you it was definitely a good race. How was the show? How were the people? Did you have a good time?
I've been to Lake City because the Sunbelt races there a handful of times. I have never seen so many people in the stands. They were just packed from one end to the other, top to bottom. It was, in my eyes, it was a great show. You know, we had to go to the back because we got a flat tire early on. We come in, changed that, went back out, ran another 10 or 15 laps, and then we ended up having radio problems. So we come back in, and, you know, we were still in the back. I don't think we lost any positions for that, for coming in and changing our radio. But we went back out, and, you know, the car was just really good, you know, thanks to Dickie and everybody that helps him. And we just ended up, you know, picking our way up through there and made it up to the top five. And, you know, we had a little bit of luck along the way, but, you know, that never hurts you in, you know, racing around here with all, you know, with all the people they got, like Timmy Russell, Wayne Anderson, you know, Patrick Williams, you know, that's one of his home tracks there.
You beat all them guys?
Yeah, we did. And, you know, we just got up there and got in the second and put some pressure on Timmy. And we ended up getting by him and led the last 16 laps of the race.
How many cars were there, Jeff?
I don't know.
Approximately.
I think there was about 21 or 22 there.
Not bad.
Yeah, I think that's right. Rick Warren is going to have a story coming out, I guess, either tonight or tomorrow, and we got a bunch of photographs and stuff, so we'll have that on the Karnak tomorrow. But go ahead, Rob. I know you're itching to ask Jeff something.
Well, not really. I'm just I'm in awe of all the guys that he said he beat there. Wayne was there, and he beat him there. What tire did you flatten when you were out there?
The left rear tire. Actually, Wayne ended up falling out. When I come right back on the track, Wayne fell out, and, you know, thank God for that because, you know, he's definitely a tough one to pass. And,
yeah, he's tough
he's
there.
Fast everywhere he goes.
I need to ask you a question, Rob. Why are you in awe? Jeff Jacquette is one of the best drivers we got in the state.
No. Well, I know that, too. But I know when he said that Wayne was there, Wayne's really good there. I know I learned my line at the racetrack by talking to him. And when you run the right line at the racetrack there, you can get some left side flat tires there sometimes. And that's why I was asking, you know, what tire that you ended up getting flattened. And, you know, to come back from the rear, I mean, it's such a momentum track, but it sure helps to have a good car underneath you, too, with all that momentum. And to come out winning. How many laps was it?
How many laps was the whole race?
Yeah.
The whole race was 100.
100 laps.
They did 250s, right?
No, they did 100 straight.
Oh, they did 100 straight?
I think they did 100 straight, didn't you?
Yeah, it was 100 straight.
All right, Jeff, that's pretty cool, man. And Rick Warren said you did. He drove your way right through the field to the front. And
I got to get a lot of credit to, you know, to Dickie because, I mean, I think before we left the shop to go up there, I went up there to his shop to scale it. And we didn't only scale it once. We scaled about 3 or 4 times. And you know, the car didn't leave his shop until it was, you know, we were even late for practice, you know, because we wanted to make sure the car was 100%. And, you know, every time Dickie goes to the racetrack, that car is just 100%, and I got to give a big thank you to him.
Yeah, we ain't leaving. We ain't leaving, boy, until we scale it one more time. We're going to scale it one more time, then we're going to load it up.
Yep.
All right, Jeff, next week, I know you're headed up to Hickory Motor Speedway, right?
Yeah, we're getting ready right now. The primary car is basically all ready to go. You know, we just did a little audit in on that. And our backup car, we're putting the motor in it right now and getting ready to go. So we have the backup just in case something happens.
All right, man, here's the deal now. In the last couple of weeks, we've talked to Andy Loden, who's the late model champion up there at Hickory Motor Speedway. This year he adds his name to, you know, some pretty illustrious names like, you know, Junior Johnson and Ralph Earnhardt and so forth and so on and all like that. And then we talked to Sherry Clifton, who's the promoter up there, and I understand there's a graveyard right out there off the track. Right next to the track, there's a graveyard. And we were talking to him about all this stuff. So when you go up there, man, I want you to find a real quiet place, like late at night when they turn the lights off. And I want you to come back and tell me what ghosts you see, okay?
Oh, yeah. You ain't going to find me out in the middle of that game.
Hey, redneck Ronnie's grandmother's buried in that thing there.
I'm nowhere near them. I don't even like driving past them.
All right, man. You go have fun, and we'll talk to you real soon. Thanks a lot, Jeff.
Thank you.
You are listening to the O'Reilly ASA Fast Lane. We'll be right back.
Power Master is your ASA series sponsor for the XS Power batteries. Power Master is pleased to announce the introduction of the XS Power series of batteries. XX Power batteries for racing applications and batteries for your car audio application. 12-volt batteries for street machines, street rods, off-road vehicles, and even motorcycles. XS Power batteries means 30% more power and no battery spilling. Power Master also carries your starters and alternators. Visit us on the web at www.powermastermotorsports.com.
And we are back. And we are back.
Hold on, Jeremy.
And we are back. Yeah, see, I just cut right in on that. How you like that? We're back.
Jeremy Gerstner is on the line. We were having a heck of a conversation.
Oh, I can't imagine. I can't imagine. Well,
Gerstner, welcome to the O'Reilly ASA Fast Lane Show.
Excellent. How you guys doing tonight?
Hey, we're doing, man. Hey, we just talked to you the other day.
Yeah, we were just having a gossip about maybe ASA traveling to some newer tracks next year, maybe like Bristol and possibly Martinsville. we were just hoping, you know, maybe to get some, you know, some a lot of history tracks and stuff like that.
Yeah, well, you're going to some history this week, that's for sure.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I can't wait to go to Hickory. I mean, I was just telling him about when I ran Hooters Pro Cup, I missed a chance to go to Hickory with the Hooters guys, and I just couldn't afford to get up there. But it's been my first time at Hickory, and I'm really looking forward to it.
We were also talking about the Birmingham Speedway race and also the possibility of getting to Nashville. But
I want to know about the Chevys and the Fords.
Yeah, we kind of eased up on that tonight. We talked about it with Carol. Basically, yeah, we were saying about, you know, in the beginning of the year, you know, the Chevys definitely had a disadvantage big time. I mean, at Bronson wasn't noticeable because, you know, of course Partello started on the pole and won. But I mean, as soon as we went to the next track, I think it was Cordeal, I believe. I mean, on the straightaways, the Fords were just eating us for lunch. And right after that, Ryan Sandivoni sent out a press release saying that they're going to let us go to the better valve springs and the better rocker arms. And I'll tell you, that really woke it up. And I think that I would say we're within 5 to 10 horsepower of the Fords now, and the torque's probably real close.
Well, you know, the Ford people, Jeremy, are going to say they're at least 5 or 10 or 15 horsepower down from the Chevy.
Oh, they cry about it all the time. But you know what? I tell you what. If that was so true, then why did Fontaine bring a Chevy and a Ford to Odessa, Missouri, and then ended up racing the Ford?
And he's still confused. We just asked. He was doing his little intro thing there, and he almost said Chevy instead of Ford, didn't he, Terry?
Yeah. We just interviewed Chris on the show.
Okay.
And he almost said Chevy when he's driving a Ford now.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I mean, I'm actually trying to. I was just joking with him the other day at the track. We were talking about if he said the Chevy motors, I might be purchasing them, just because. I mean, I honestly feel that. I mean, if you get your car set up good and you get it handling good, I mean, even at, like I was telling Jack there on the other show, Odessa, Missouri, I-70, which is like one of the fastest tracks I think we've been at this year, other than maybe Bristol. I mean, I felt I could run side by side with Chiquette for 7 laps and Peter Cozzolino, no problem. I mean, so that shows you. When you're handling right and you're on top of the game, I think motors are pretty equal. I mean, versus everybody complains about how the Chevys were better or the Fords are better. I don't really think there's an issue right now.
Yeah, well, we just wanted to – the reason I brought that up again is you know, we some people were talking that I just wanted to put that to rest, you know, because there's some people still talking about it that actually aren't running in the series. So I just wanted to put that to rest.
Yeah, but, I have heard a lot of hype about that. You know, I'll see people out like these local tracks like Ocala or even like I was at Ponte Gorda the other night. They're like, why do you run a Chevy? You're a half a second off just by running a Chevy. I'm like – well, I don't feel that anymore. I mean, I feel like, you know, Ron and Sandy got it pretty much with taking the motors and doing the research. I mean, they even took Sean Bass's Dodge. I mean, I think they all come to the conclusion they're pretty close now.
Yeah.
Well, from the beginning of time of racing, there's always been an argument. Who has more horsepower, what they're doing here, who has better aerodynamics? And as you know, NASCAR went to the common template, so the body can't be in it, but obviously the motors are always going to be talked about who's got what and who's is better.
So, Jeremy, you've been racing a long time. I mean, you modifieds, late models, Hooters Pro Cup, you race all kinds of stuff, man. Tell us, what's some of the biggest things you have learned this year competing on the ASA deal?
You know, always in the modifieds, I mean, you know, and just like Hooters, I mean, you know, of course, speed does buy more, you know, your money does buy more speed because you can do more research and you can always, you know, spend the money for where, you know, to help yourself out. But I found with the ASA, I mean, we're pretty much maxed out. I mean, I spent the money for the lighter dry shaft, the better rear end. I mean, really, you know, I could run probably a Burt transmission versus where I got the T10. I mean, but what I have found with this ASA, I mean, I got a $40,000 car. All my competitors got a $30,000 or $40,000 car. I mean, there's not one guy out there that shows up with a $100,000 super late model and dominates every week like you see in the super late model series. I mean, with this series here, you might find somebody that has a $2,000 or $3,000 edge, but it's not going to be a $20,000 or $30,000 edge like it is in the supers.
Yeah.
I mean, I definitely think that, you know, in the beginning of the year, I was a seventh or maybe a tenth place car. Now I feel like every week I'm a top five or, you know, even a top three car, if not a winning car every time I go to the track, which... that's where we were looking for in the beginning of the year. Just with these crate, you know, cars, you got to make them handle so good and you got to be so free. I mean, anybody that could just jump right into it as a rookie, as a driver might be a rookie, but they evidently the kids that are dominating, that are doing good, that are rookies, they have, you know, experienced crew chiefs and experienced people that have been running this series. It's not just, you know, a rookie team that's going to go out there and dominate. I can tell you that right now.
And I watched, you know, especially in the early part of the year, I mean, yourself, Partolo, I mean, you guys are veteran racers, and you were really struggling to get the car set up and all that and having really problems with it. How are you able to keep such a positive attitude, man, when it was – I mean, it would just look to me like it had to be extremely frustrating.
There ain't nothing worse than you go out there and you know what the car is doing, and you know how to tell, you know, your crew chief or whoever's helping you what the car is doing. But to not be able to dial the car in, like, you know, modify, I can tell you if it's pushing or loosening, you know, move the panel bar, do this, and I can get it real close just by myself telling someone what to do. But the crate cars, I mean, we were trying to run, you know, a conventional type frame with a big bar setup, which I kind of touched on that the other night. But the thing is you have to have the whole combination, you know, and it's like the total opposite of having a lot of horsepower and trying to get bite. Now we got no horsepower, and we're trying to free it up. And like you say, yeah, it is. It's mental anguish. You know, it's so aggravating to know that you're up against teams that, you know, I mean, it's like, look at Sean Murphy. He's got Butch Miller as a crew chief. I mean, yeah, he is new in the crate series, but with having Butch Miller as a crew chief, he can tell you how to tune that car just by watching the way, you know, the way the car is going around the track without no input or nothing. I mean, with me being a rookie with a crate deal, I mean, yeah, I'm not a rookie in racing, but I'm a rookie with a crate deal with less horsepower and trying to get those 10-inch tires freed up.
Yeah, you had got yourself a hired gun, too, now.
Well, yeah, actually, with Jay coming on board.
Jay Carberry.
Yeah, Jay Carberry doing the shocks. I mean, I honestly think that was one of our biggest turnarounds of our whole deal. And also, he's real good with the geometry. Him and Denny Cormican with 4C's chassis, they put their heads together and they banged heads. And we took and called Chad at left-hander, and we totally basically cut the front clips off both cars, put all new style 2007 clips, which is made for the big bar setup. And changing all that, now the car is working free in the front end. I just got to learn how to tune the rear part of the car now to where I can get it free up off, which, you know, we're working at it slowly, and I think that we're going to see this week at Hickory. I got a really good setup for Hickory because, like I said, Jay went up there and did some testing with Perry Brown in a past series race like a month ago, and if we can be as fast as they were, I think we'll be a top three qualifier and have a good chance to win this race for sure.
That's not Suitcase Jake, is it?
Jay Carberry is the owner of Evergreen Development. And
oh, okay.
You can't keep up with him and Perry Brown. I mean, just a few months ago, they went up to Kentucky and Tennessee with their dirt modifieds and went to all them crazy dirt tracks up there in the mountains. You know, now they're up in you can't keep up with them guys.
Yeah, I tell you, they've been definitely bouncing around from dirt to asphalt. I'm having a hard enough time just keeping up with ASA this year. Never one type of race car, and then he's pulling his hair out, going from dirt to asphalt.
I want to go to the points a little bit here. You got two races left, Birmingham and Hickory, and we were talking earlier. You're only 61 points out of 10th place, and. Exactly. 61 points out of 10th place.
Yep.
So is that sort of a goal for you, Jeremy, is to try and get in the top 10?
Yeah, actually, in the beginning of the year, I was going to say I want to be a top 5 in points, try to run for the rookie contender title. But after having missing Cordial and New Smyrna, Cordial we had the wrong geometry, and New Smyrna we had a flat tire in qualifying, and we ran in the shootout, we had a flat tire. We didn't know it was flat with these Hoosiers. They got such stiff sidewalls, we couldn't tell. But yeah, now that we're getting later in the year, our goal was, you know, it's the first year in ASA. If we can be top 10, you know, there's like 70 or 80 teams. If we can be a top 10 contender and just, you know, go to the banquet and have some fun and, you know, you write this year off as a learning experience and know that now we know how to make these crate cars work, we'll be that much further ahead for next year, you know, going into the, you know, all these, yeah, there might be some new tracks, but we got a lot of good notes and we know what to do to these cars to make it, you know, better and make it freer. So, I mean, I think we'll be definitely a points, you know, champion contender next year.
So are you and Rob and Danny Partolo still speaking?
Oh, we always, yeah, me and Rob, we always work together. I mean, I was actually going to let him use my backup car, I-70, when he broke that wheel and hit the wall pretty hard. But the way their weekend was going and my backup car, I had about 4 hours worth of work to do to finish it up. He just said, at this point, Jeremy, I've already killed one car. I don't want to take a chance of wrecking your car, and then we got to fix two cars. We're just going to go ahead and go on home. But, me and Rob, we've been racing together since 15, 16 years old. I mean, and I've always competed against him on a modified level, now a late model level. So, yeah, I mean, it's unfortunate that Danny had that. They had a problem with they actually broke a motor at DeSoto in practice. But I see they're already on the entry list for Hickory, so they'll probably definitely be up there and be real strong.
You know, the biggest disappointment, I swear, I'll see what you think about this. But old man Wayne Morris, I say that jokingly about Wayne being an old man, but, I really wish he could have made all these races. I was really interested to see how he would do at through the whole year, but I guess he wasn't able to pull it off.
Right. Yeah, he was very competitive when he ran. I don't know if it was finances or just the time of traveling or what it was, but, he was real competitive. There again, he had a Ford, and it kind of helped him in the beginning, but I think once everything got leveled, a lot of the guys that we had for, I don't know if they took it at heart whenever Ron let us have, Ron Varney let us have the rocker arm and the valve springs to kind of equal everybody out. Because, I mean, when you go to purchase the Chevy motors, they're like $5,200 from Bill Hurd Chevrolet. When you go to purchase the Ford motor, it's like a $9,000 investment. So why it's so much more, it might just be because the old Chevy's cheaper than Ford issue, I don't know. But, or maybe the McGonagall Ford was just that much better, I don't know. But I think it kind of hurt a lot of people's feelings. I had Fords, and it was like four or five cars I pulled out after that. After they did that change,
$5,000 motor or $9,000 motor is still a whole hell of a lot cheaper than a $30,000 motor, isn't it?
Oh, by far. I had one of the top of the line Bakers. In my Super Late Model, I paid $25,000 for, and then I think Mike Fritz showed up with a $45,000 Ford motor. And made me look like I forgot to give a gas in the straightaway.
and that's when I
pulled the key on that the local Sunbelt series, because I realized to be competitive I'm going to spend $45,000, and with the kind of money that we were winning, it really wasn't worth it. I mean, not that ASA pays a lot more, but it's the prestige of being a Craig series that I'll be honest with you, I've changed the oil like maybe four or five times this year. I haven't touched the valve springs. I haven't touched nothing in that car since we changed it. I mean, that was
wow.
I mean, no maintenance except changing the oil and checking the timing every time you put a new ignition box in, and that is it.
All right. That's amazing.
That's a whole lot better, isn't it, Jeremy?
Let me tell you, I think right now, as of year-to-date, I got 1,600 laps or 1,700 laps on the motor, I think. Right at $2,000 we're laps in it. If that would have been a super motor, we'd already had to take it down, freshen it up. And, probably put new valve springs on it twice, and we haven't even touched the motor. I mean,
and freshening up a super costs more than a crate motor altogether.
Oh, yeah. To redo that Baker motor was like $8,500. I mean, and I could have bought a crate motor and a half.
And for 90% of the race car drivers in America, it's really just about the money to be able to go race. Because, most race car drivers aren't, they know they're not going to be out there competing against Jeff Gordon anytime soon and those kind of deals, So it's really about fun and having the competitive thing, and it just makes a whole lot more sense to not throw all that $50,000 money around because, really, the races aren't that much better for the fans anyway.
Right. I mean, as long as everybody has the same motor, everybody's within. I mean, I can't tell you how many times we've qualified in the first place. Guy was, say, like a 1390. And the dead last guy was maybe like a 1430. You're talking 7 to 8 tenths from first to dead last in 40 cars. That's pretty competitive.
That's right. And when we go around, Terry, this. We talk to people not just here in Florida but all over the country. And, especially in the last few years where I've talked to a lot more race car drivers in other parts of the country. And it's amazing how many cars are sitting in garages and just sitting in, sitting, gathering dust. Because of the affordability factor, man, and this whole deal of like spending all this zillions of dollars on the motors, it just don't make no sense.
You're right. I mean, I think if everybody could get on the same playing field throughout Florida with the, I mean, I know you were saying the other night that Don Nerone don't feel like the crate motor is the way to go.
That was Rob. That was Bonehead said that.
Oh, is that Bonehead that was saying that?
I'm not going to talk bad about Don Nerone, man.
No, definitely no. I mean, I think I don't believe Don actually said that, because if that was the deal, he wouldn't have the ASA type cars 6 or 7 nights in the Winterfest coming up. So I mean, I don't think that he meant that. If
Don Nerone did say that the ASA cars are dogs going around the track.
Yeah, he does like the big super late models, and you know he likes right. the big motors, and that's his deal. But there's place for that. There is a place for that, but for the average guy. The average race car driver is going to race late models. The whole crate motor thing obviously makes a whole lot more sense just in terms of dollars, and that's really what it all comes down to anyway in the end.
Yep.
Give you an example. Just in the Southern Division alone, there's 102 different drivers that drove in the Southern Division. 102.
There you go.
That's impressive.
Exactly.
All right, man.
I'm saying if we can get a top 10 out of 102 teams, I would be very grateful for the year. I mean, being in 12th, I mean, yeah, I've made all the shows, but if I would have just qualified for those two that I was telling you that we struggled in, I would be like fifth in points right now just by staying out of trouble. But it's just hard to believe that there's that many teams out there, but because of the crate motor, they've been able to go racing now. I mean, I think if there was all supers, for one, you're going to show up to a track that you think that you're a 10th place car instead of a first place car. With the crate motor, you feel like you have a chance to win every time you show up.
There you go. All right, man. You go up there to Hickory Motor Speedway this weekend and give it to them.
No problem. Hey, Jack, I was just going to touch on one thing, too. I was going to tell you, you know, when we were at, Ponta Gorda, I went there and tested for Rougemont at Ponta Gorda. I used Bobby's track to test there, and I was actually turning a 1485 with my crate car. And when I was up there, a couple weeks ago, basically we turned a 15-10 was a fast time there. So that just shows you the crate versus the super on those short tracks, the real competitive. You know what I mean?
There you go.
Well, we're going to have to just send that information to Don in the room.
There you go. I mean, yeah, you go to New Smyrna, Lakeland, you might as well just hang it up. But I mean, for the short tracks, I think the crate. I mean, even like I told me at Hickory. That I got the setup from, I forget his name, but he runs there every week. He's won 16 out of 26 races this year. He said that they basically ran the same motor, same thing like I told you. They changed the oil, he said, and they actually have a tire rule where they're only allowed to buy like one tire a night. But he said he's basically actually winning and making money racing with the crate motor because you don't have to spend all the money with the big money motors and stuff.
That must have been Andy. Yeah. Was that Andy Loden?
I'm trying to think who it is.
Yeah.
They call him Superman.
Oh, okay.
But I don't know. I guess he's got a Superman emblem on his hood.
I gotcha.
A friend of mine helps him out, and it worked out great that I was going there, and he's going to help me out while we're in town, so hopefully we'll be very competitive.
And you know you're talking about speed, and I know we're running late here, Jack, but one point. Who has the track record at Bristol?
The ASA late models.
The ASA late models.
That's right.
Ain't that something? Yeah, that's crazy.
That says it all, man. I'll tell you what, Jeremy, you go have fun. We'll be. I just can't wait to see how this thing whole turns out. And
excellent. Well, listen, if you guys see me up there in the top three or whatever, definitely feel free to give me a call. I'd love to tell you how.
No doubt about it, man. All right, Jeremy Gerstner, man. See you later.
Thanks, Jeremy, for joining. Bye.
All right, Jerry, let's go. We're running.
Jeremy has a future in radio.
Oh, he's very good. He's very good. He's very good.
Okay.
Tell you what, we're going to go to quick break. We're going to come back with Trent Snyder, winner of the Northern Division Championship, huh?
For the Northern Division Champion.
All right.
You are listening to the O'Reilly ASA Fastlane. We'll be right back.
Are you ready to win? If so, it's time to move up to 5-Star Race Car Bodies. 5-Star Race Car Bodies designs and manufactures the highest quality race car body components. Short tracks, drag strips, road courses, and even in the desert, 5-Star has one driving passion, to help you win. 5-Star Race Bodies designs and manufactures for NASCAR, Grand Am, NHRA, IHRA, SCCA, short track asphalt, short track dirt, USAC, USAR, Hooters Pro Cup, and the ASA Late Model Series. Find out more today, 5starbodies.com.
PowerMaster is your ASA series sponsor for the XS Power batteries. PowerMaster is pleased to announce the introduction of the XS Power series of batteries, XX Power batteries for racing applications, and batteries for your car audio application. 12-volt batteries for street machines, street rods, off-road vehicles, and even motorcycles. XS Power batteries means 30% more power and no battery spilling. PowerMaster also carries your starters and alternators. Visit us on the web at www.powermastermotorsports.com.
When purchasing a technical product like brakes, there is no substitute for quality and experience. In the performance industry, no one has more experience than the Brakeman. The Brakeman has been designing high-performance solutions for a variety of applications for almost 40 years. The current products from the Brakeman are among the most advanced on the market. The Tornado calipers are the only calipers in the performance industry to carry a U.S. patent number and their new line of pads and rotors. The Brakeman Super Brakes are solving brake problems on hard-use vehicles, from police cars to ambulances and a variety of fleet vehicles. So if you're towing a trailer, carrying heavy loads, or just plain want to extend the life and stopping power of your vehicle, it's time to go The Brakeman. On the web at TheBrakeman.com.
Bud Light presents Real Men of Genius.
Real Men of Genius.
Today we salute you, Mr. Pro Sports Heckler Guy.
Mr. Pro Sports Heckler Guy.
They say those who can't play coach. Apparently those who can't coach sit 30 rows back, shirtless, shouting obscenities.
Oh, that's right, motherfucker.
Thanks to you, our team is armed with game-winning tips like catch the ball and throw it.
Shout it out loud.
You stink. That sucks. What a bunch of losers. Not just catcalls, but subtle psychological ploys to prod your team to victory.
Reverse psychology.
So here's to you, old Sultan of Shouting. Because while there may be no I in team, thanks to you, there's always an F and a U. Bud Light Beer, Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis, Missouri.
Welcome back to the O'Reilly ASA Fastlane here on Wednesday night. And let's just fade that out there. How are you doing, Terry?
I'm good. We have, I wish I had the Queen song, We Are the Champions, playing right now. Because we have the Northern Division ASA Late Model Series champion, Trent Snyder, on the line.
All right, Trent.
Hey guys, thanks for having me. It's always good to be on.
Yeah, you got her done, man.
Yeah, it wasn't easy. It sure was a long season, lots of ups and downs, but I'm sure I'm glad it's over now, official, and we couldn't be happier.
Yeah, you won the championship by 51 points over Nick Neville, and Nick Neville sort of snuck up there, didn't he?
Yeah, he had a great run there the last week in Oktoberfest, got his first podium, and yeah, it was a great run for that team, and unfortunately, Charlie and Peter both had troubles, and they dropped back in the points a little bit.
I noticed that Peter Cozzolino came in fourth, and Charlie Menard came in sixth, and Charlie Menard was leading the points going into that race.
Yeah, it was just such a tight points battle with all like the top eight guys in points the last, well, almost the whole season, but I mean, even coming in the last race, it was just super close points with all the top six, seven guys.
So, what was the highlight, besides winning the championship, Trent, what was the highlight of your year? You won two races. I suppose that was your highlight, the two wins?
Yeah, I'd say so. That North versus South World Cup 200 at I-70, the second race that we won down there, that was a big highlight because all the Northern Series drivers and the Southern Series drivers, so lots of competition, and that was such a great race. It was the only 200-lap race of the Northern Division schedule, so that was probably our highlight.
And are you going, now your season's over, so are you going to go to Hickory or Birmingham or Nashville?
The plan is just to go to Nashville.
Okay.
Still short on funds. We got such a small team and small budget, so we're just going to plan on doing Nashville. We went down there last year, and we're running good. Got caught up in a wreck, but really looking forward to getting down there and hopefully have a shot at winning one of those guitars.
Is your setup a little bit the same as in Nashville as it will be at Odessa?
You know, our Odessa setup is so different than every other track because it's got so much banking and so fast you just got to go up on springs quite a bit. And I haven't quite started working on the car for Nashville just yet, so I'm going to have to look back at the setup for last year and see what we ran. But I think it's somewhat similar, but I can't really recall right offhand.
So what is the big plans for next year?
Don't have anything lined up yet. Don't really have any idea. Hopefully we can, I don't know, get some sponsorship or maybe somebody will give me a chance or something. But other than that, hopefully we could just run the North again. I'd love to run the ASA Challenge Series if we could get the money to do all the traveling because Ron and Sandy Varney do such a great job, and it's just an awesome series to be in.
And then we had talked before about you possibly trying to get some rides in ARCA. And maybe move it up to some truck stuff. Just whatever opportunities come along, you're going to try and snatch up, huh?
Oh, yeah. I would love to be able to get an opportunity to drive in the ARCA series or truck series or anything. I mean, I love what I'm doing now with the ASA series because it's so great, but, I mean, I definitely would still like to have a shot at moving up and be able to, you know, make racing a full-time career.
Now, who is your crew chief, and tell us a little bit about...
Who helped you win that championship?
I'm sorry?
I said, who helped you win that championship?
Exactly. That's what I was trying to say, Jack.
Okay. Well, I was just the lucky guy that got to drive the car all year, because Steve Strasburg at Race Car Help, he just gave me unbelievable cars every track we went to. And a few of them we hadn't been to, but some we had been to before, which helped. But, I mean, he just gave me unbelievable. I have one of his RCH AMP cars that he put together, and that thing's been just lightning fast everywhere we've gone. I love that car. And we didn't really have a full-time crew chief other than Steve, but he wasn't necessarily our crew chief. He went to most of the races, but we did a lot of phone consulting with him also, and he's a super guy, but other than that, I just got to thank my dad. He went to all the races. He kind of took care of all the tires and all that. I mean, that's the tires are a big part of it, so I got to thank him a ton, and just financially, too. I know it was a big part thanks to my dad. Otherwise, I probably wouldn't even be out there.
Well, it's always good to have family support, and it's always good to depend on your family, because I've been around enough teams, and sometimes there's a lot of divorces because money goes to the racing instead of the groceries.
Yeah. Well, you know, if you can go down there and pull off the guitar, that might even be bigger than winning the Northern Championship. You never know.
That's a fact.
In terms of sponsorship and everything, I mean, really, that couldn't hurt.
You know, Jack, we were talking earlier to Jeremy Gershner, and we were saying there was 100. And two different drivers in the Southern Division.
Right.
Well, there's 114 different drivers in the Northern Division. That's just mind-boggling.
Well, and it bodes well for next year because, you know, there's a lot of people, I don't know about, I'm not totally up on the North as much, but I do know in the South, and it's probably the same way in the North, that out of those 100 and some drivers, there's a few of them who are just testing the waters, getting something ready for, you know, getting a little bit of a taste for next year, and I know that's a fact, so look out.
And what amazing is that Trent Snyder came on top of all them drivers, but if you notice, 9th, 10th, 11th, and 12th, and 13th were all rookies. And that's just amazing. And actually, in fifth place was a rookie, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
the ASA Late Model Series is a great series for young drivers and just anybody to get into. I mean, you can tell just by what you guys are talking about with the car count and everything. And I think the series is only going to continue to keep growing and growing because it's got the nice engine package and dollar limits on some of the stuff. So it keeps it a little more affordable than some of the Super Late Model Series, which that's part of the reason that we're running it. And, I just see the series growing more and more.
All right, man.
Oh, I agree with you.
All right. Well, wish you the best of luck down there in Nashville, and congratulations again on winning the ASA Late Model Northern Division Championship, man.
Yeah, I really appreciate it, and always enjoy being on the show with you guys, and maybe get back on the show if we do good down there.
You got it.
I'll see you in Nashville, because if Jack can get me some credentials, I'll be there for that.
Well, that's
for sure.
That's a done deal.
Okay, right. Sounds good. Look forward to seeing you there.
All right.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you, Trent.
All right.
Yeah, thank you, guys.
Okay, Trent Snyder.
Snyder, the Northern Division champion.
All right, Saturday. It's all.
I have a question for you, Jack.
Yeah, it's all happening Saturday. What's that?
Why is the Northern Division completely over and the Southern Division have two more races?
Well, because, you know, it gets dark later down south. I'll tell you what, I don't know about what the weather is in Michigan right now, but I know in a couple of weeks it's going to be a whole lot warmer in Birmingham, Alabama than it is going to be in Wasota, Wisconsin, or wherever.
Yes, sir, Rebob.
And this week, Hickory Motor Speedway, Newton, North Carolina, Meet the Stars 125, and you're definitely going to meet the stars because you got some of the stars from the north coming out there to try to steal some of that Southern Division thunder, like Cozzolino and some of the other ones. So it should be interesting.
It should be another war.
Yeah, there you go.
North versus the South.
North versus the South. Well, that's coming up a little bit later at Nashville. But tell you what, Terry, we got to buzz on out of here. This has been the O'Reilly ASA Fast Lane for Wednesday, October 17th, 2007.
October 17th already.
Isn't that amazing? All right. Tell you what, our next deal is Skip Wall will be at covering the ASA late model Southern Division race up there at Hickory, and can't wait to talk to Skip next week and get his feedback, because he's very very familiar with the track up there, because it's right in his back of his woods where he lives. But he's been covering the Hooters Pro Cup with me for 8 years. And he's been a spotter, a media guy, and all of it with the Pro Cup. So this will be his first ASA late model race, and I can't wait to get his perspective.
You said a mouthful, because, you know, we're hearing all these discrepancies on the ASA cars being slow and this and that.
Yeah, nonsense.
And the deal with Skip, he's been around it for years and years and years. Now, this will be his first ASA race, correct?
That's right.
Okay, so you can give us an honest opinion.
All right, we're out of here.
All right. See you next week, folks. The O'Reilly ASA Fast Lane, and we're gone.
You've been listening to the O'Reilly ASA Fast Lane. We'll see you next time. Same time, same channel.